episode 33. Get out of here, Satan. Special episode tonight, you know, big 33. Same age as Jesus, you know what I mean? Jesus died, he rose, and he lives forever. But when he was on that cross, he was 33. Amen. All right, let's start off tonight with a little prayer. Get in the zone, get in that mode. Holy Spirit, activate. Dear Lord Jesus, God, we thank you so much, Lord, for allowing us to be here tonight, God. And we thank you for the love you just pour out to us so freely every day, God. Lord, I pray that those listening right now, Lord, would just feel your love and your power pouring out, Lord, through the speakers of whatever they are listening through, God. Lord, I just pray you would fill and surround them, God. I pray that your Holy Spirit would be known here, God. And Lord, that we would speak, Lord, as followers of you, as lovers of you, and as children of you, God. Lord, just allow the Holy Spirit to use me and Chris as vessels in this time, God. Lord, to just speak your truth, your life, and the love, Lord, that you've given us every single day. In your almighty name we pray. Amen. All right. So, yeah, me and Chris were just chatting, you know, trying to figure out what we'd talk about this week. And we just kind of figured, you know, a lot of people down bad right now.
I was wondering how he's going to word it, dude.
A lot of struggle going on. It's like, I don't know, more and more people I talk to, it's like very rare that someone's doing good, doing great. And, you know, so we just came up with the craziest title, you know, a little clickbait. What was it?
Am I worthy?
No, it's I'll never be enough.
Worse.
I'll never be enough. So just setting the tone tonight, you know, that's the vibe for tonight. We'll never be enough, because that's just kind of the feeling I get from people when they speak about themselves, you know. And it's sad for sure, but it kind of, as a believer, you know, you see where the problems are, and then it hurts even more when you see someone, you know, at church, or someone, you know, that's trying to know God, or working, grinding, getting that Bible, when they're like, man, I'll just never be enough. Or they're just always down on themselves, or they're just speaking negativity, you know, because it's like those words, bro, you could either bring life or death, you know, just by one word. And so tonight we're just going to focus on how, yeah, we will never be enough. But the beautiful thing is our Father in heaven covers us. He's more than enough, you know. So it's not so much about us. It's not about whatever we're feeling, it's about the faithfulness that God never stops showing. So just, I guess if you're in that place tonight where you're just feeling a little insecure, you know, you're unsure of your path or the road that you're on currently, I would just say stop focusing so much on you and focus on what has already been done. Because the battle is over, it has been won. Jesus went up on that cross, he sacrificed himself for us so that today we get to walk in the freedom. And that freedom can only be found in Jesus Christ. You can't find it in no money, no job, no girl, no nothing. There's nothing that can compare to the love that Jesus gives us every day. And so, yeah, we're just going to get into it today with a little down bad activity.
But that was nuts. That was a crazy way to start. Hopefully we're not good. We'll say like the good ways to not be down bad, baby. But we're all down bad a little bit. But I don't know. I think that so really what happened was we can see how what video or what podcast have the most listens, and guilt and shame is at the very top of that, and by like a long shot. And so I told Wally, like, people are probably scrolling through all of our different episodes, and they just read the title of Guilt and Shame, and it really just revealed, I think, to us, right, or at least something that God was revealing to us, or something that, right, people have real life struggles such as guilt and shame, and that's something that speaks really heavily to a lot of people. And if you've got that guilt and shame, then it's probably coupled with right, not feeling that you're worthy for Christ, right? And I think it's relatable, like, for me, for sure. I could definitely relate, you know, to being there, especially like living in sin and being an imperfect person, really, right? And then especially if I'm struggling with the same sins that I'm trying to, you know, get rid of, or you know, trying to hand off to God but still holding on to, and then I continue to fall into that sin, it makes me think, like, you know, it makes me question things, right? Like, where am I at? And on top of that, I work with, like, some of probably the most down bad people as far as, like, who I feel that God has called me to serve. He's really put me in a position for, you know, people who have really ruined their lives, and so I'm around it, like, a lot of the time. And I'll, you know, I feel that my problems are kind of big, and I go and I talk with these people, and I realize, you know, I've really got a blessed life, like, every time I talk to them. But it still shows me that there's a ton of people out there who are struggling with so much pain, right? And it's something that I kind of touched on last week, right? And it's something we talked about actually in another episode, right? About pain and, you know, and what I talked about last week, malevolence, maleficent, you feel me, right? And just the fact that no matter what in the world, we're always going to have struggles. And then the only way to not have those struggles is, right, with Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit. I think it's like a big issue of people have low self-esteem, or they've been beaten down by the world, or really, like, people will be harder on themselves than other people will be on them, right? It's been something that I've continued to see. And so I think that's really just kind of, that's, I feel like that's a better kind of explanation. But I mean, yours was good too, but I killed it. Did a good job. Thank you, God. Just, you know how it is. But yeah, let you get into your story that you wrote down.
Bro. Yeah, no, I just, as I was kind of, you know, praying and preparing today, you know, I was just kind of writing down what was flowing into my head and my heart, and I just kept feeling like, obviously, the world is hurting. Like, you would have to be blind to not see that. You know, it's like everywhere you look, there's pain and there's headache and heartbreak. But, you know, it sucks to see also that the church is hurting, you know. I mean, which is good and bad, because we're going to suffer as part of it. And the good thing about suffering in the church is that you're surrounded by other brothers and sisters in Christ who can come together with you, who can, you know, uplift you when you're down. And that just popped in my head. There's a story in Exodus where Moses was basically like leading the people who just got out of Israel, and basically another tribe came and attacked them, and God told him, as long as your arms are lifted to heaven, that battle will be won. You know, like, I'll take care of your soldiers, your people will be protected, and I'll destroy the other people. But the minute your arms go down, that's when it's going to get bad. The Israelites are going to start dying. You know, they're going to start getting killed. The tables are going to turn, you know what I mean? And so what did they do? Aaron and another dude, I don't remember his name. He had a weird name. I think it was like Her or something. It was something weird. But basically, when Moses' arms got tired and he started to drop them, they started losing the battle. And so what they do, Aaron and other dude put a rock down and let Moses sit down, and they held his arms up for him, you know. And that's what we're called to do as, you know, a body of Christ. We're supposed to surround each other and uplift at times when you can't even, you know, raise your arms to praise God. So I thought that was cool for sure, and that kind of just came in my head. But that's lit. Shout out Exodus, good little chapter. But just like as far as that aspect goes about hurting and feeling pain, you know, it's like, it's because we're just, our head and our heart's not in the right place, you know. Because as a devoted man of God, when you face times of trial, or when you face times where you're hurting, you're suffering, you know, it's like, as long as your eyes are focused on the cross, you understand the purpose behind it, you know, that I don't know what's going on, but it's God's plan. I'm going to trust it. I'm going to continue to move in faith through it. You know, it's like my favorite verse I bring up all the time is that Romans 5, that 3-5, you know, it's like when you keep faith in times of suffering, it builds perseverance, and through perseverance builds character. And when you're building that character, you get hope that the light of God is going to shine down in the situation. And so when we're in these times and, you know, the struggle just doesn't seem to stop, you gotta think, like, am I rejoicing in this time, or am I feeling sorry for myself, you know? Am I being prideful, thinking I deserve more or deserve better? And the reality is, no. Like I was saying earlier, like, we are not deserving of anything, you know, but wrath. And we aren't worthy of God's love, but because of who he is, he continues to show us that love so freely. Like, all you have to do is accept Jesus, to just constantly be surrounded by the love of God. And I was reading this little article today, and it was talking about that. And it just had this cool little piece I want to read real quick. And it said, "We are not worthy of being in his presence, standing or on our knees, or even face down out of respect. Our sins make us unworthy of him and his love for us, except when we accept Jesus in our when we accept Jesus as our Savior, and our sins are made as white as snow. Living in this world is possible without Jesus, but is not as enjoyable, because in him we have salvation. In him we have access to the Creator. In him we have hope of eternity. And with him, that is worth more than all the money in the world." So it says, all we have to do is accept Jesus, and our sins are made white as snow. And then living in this world becomes a little bit more enjoyable because of him, you know? And then we have access to salvation because of him. And we get to have a one-on-one relationship with our Creator every day because of him. And then the end goal, obviously, is to spend eternity with him, you know? So this is just pointing out constantly that it's like, look, it's him. That's who we need to be focused on, not so much on ourselves. And then as we, you know, grow in that idea, we start to realize that, okay, all right, God's clearly doing something here. And I don't got to know what it is. You know, a lot of times we just got to move with faith. Really, all the time we got to move with faith. And through constantly moving in faith, we're going to grow spiritually. We're going to get a little stronger. And then when those obstacles come, you know, the little storm comes through, we got a nice little umbrella. God covering us with a little umbrella, a hedge of protection. And all we have to do is call on him. And then in those moments, it's so cool because, like, you truly do feel the peace. You know, you feel the fruits of the Spirit that he gives to us whenever you accept his son, you know? So it's like, whenever you see all this hurt and all this pain, it's because the people around you may not be leaning on the source, you know? They're trying to lean on their own strength or their own understanding instead of looking up at the Creator and saying, look, I can't do this on my own. Without you, I'm nothing. Without you, I have no strength. I have no hope, and there's no light at the end. It's just suffering, 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 you know? And that made me think of that. It was a little book back in the day, you know, it was The Giving Tree. And so basically this kid goes to this tree and he keeps taking everything from the tree, taking the apples, taking the branches, the leaves, all that, until it's just a stump. And then there's no use for it but to just sit down. And so what that made me think of was like how we approach the world today. You know, we're trying to take everything. We're trying to get everything. We're trying to hoard up all this wealth and all these, you know, things that we think are going to fulfill us. But at the end of the day, we're just like the little boy. We've got all this stuff, but now what are we doing? We're just sitting there. And I'm sure if he could go back, he would have wanted just to have that tree again, you know? And so what was he got to do? If he wants to ever have a tree again, he got to plant that seed. But guess what? Tree going to take a long time to come back. But in reality, if we're looking to God as our source, if God is our tree of life, you know what I mean? He's going to continue giving and not giving us in worldly possessions or giving us things that, you know, are necessarily like physical. It's going to be a constant sense of peace. It's going to be a constant comfort, a place of refuge. It's going to be a fortress that we can sit in when we're in the storm, you know what I mean? So it's like we got to look to God to find our identity. You know, we got to look to God to find our strength, because when we see ourselves as children of God, you know, because it says once we accept Jesus, we're then adopted. We are now sons of the Most High King. And as sons, you know, our Father out there, he protecting us. He looking over us, you know. And then there's no need to be insecure. There's no need to be scared or worried or fearful. That's all just you leaning on you. But when you lean on God, it's like there is no fear. The only fear I have is for God, you know. And that hit me pretty hard too, because it's like I've been thinking about that a lot lately. Like, what is the fear of God? Like, why is that like the main thing, you know? In Proverbs, it says the beginning of all wisdom is the fear of God. And so I was just thinking, like, I understand that, but do I really, you know? And to me, it just kind of, I looked at it like this, you know, like people, a lot of times they want to ask me, like, why do you do this? Why even care about God? And I'm like, bro, honestly, like, it's just so beautiful. Like, the life he has given me today, like, every single day is a blessing. You know, every single day I'm grateful for something. Whereas before, it was like, it was nothing. It was just a whole lot of nothing going on. And today is like, I fear God because I know his power today. And I also know what it looks like to live a life without his power, where I didn't experience him because I wasn't seeking him, you know. But today my goal is to seek him with my full heart, you know. And there's days when I do, and it's great. And there's days when I'm kind of one foot in, one foot out, and the day kind of sucks, you know what I mean? Could be a great day to the world, but spiritually, internally, you know, in my mind, mentally, I don't feel so good because I don't got the source, you know, giving me the power and the energy to move in the way he wants me to, you know. So it really comes back down to, you know, what are we leaning on, him or us, you know what I mean?
No, that's some good stuff for sure. And I definitely want to kind of touch on the fear of God thing too, because that's weird, but I was just like in like a meditation about that literally like 2 hours ago, so I'm like, that's pretty crazy. But nah, like it says, dang it, bro, I don't want to lose this. Basically, like, right, so Jesus says, if anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. I like that a lot because, you know, in today's world, it's like a very self-pleasing type of mentality that I think we carry around with us. And so a lot of the pain that we have is because we're so obsessed with our own selves, and caring for other people for some reason and having a true love for them, right? Like the Bible talks about, it says like weep with your brothers when they're weeping and then rejoice with them when they're rejoicing. And that's super big paraphrase, but basically that is what it says. And it's basically just saying that, like, if your brother's hurting, right, you should feel like in your heart like pain as well, because you love your brother. And if your brother's rejoicing, it's like you should feel a lot of joy because you really care about your brother and you want to, right, you rejoice with them. And for a long time, like when I lived my life, I did not care for any other person. So I never weeped with a person. I never rejoiced with a person. Maybe fake, but not very real. And this past week, I was talking to this guy and just talking about, you know, for this topic, right, being down bad. He was just saying that, like, he's in the rehab, and he overdosed and he died in his house, and his son was the one who found him. And when he told the whole story, but he basically just said, like, while he was saying, he was crying, and you could easily tell that there was a lot of pain there. And like, it wasn't like he didn't feel sorry for himself. You could really tell that, like, he had done something horrible and it deeply affected somebody that he cared about. And I think it's really, and I use that example because it is extreme. And I probably got like 6 examples of that just from this week. But it's a prime example of like a person who would definitely think I'm not worthy, right? Because it's like, that was an issue I used to have whenever, you know, coming into the faith was just like, it's almost like they're trying to sell you something, right? There's Nietzsche. It's a psychologist, basically. His whole thing, he used to say, his theory was like, you know, religion is the opium of the masses is what he would call it. And the idea of that was just like, he didn't believe in God, but it wasn't Nietzsche. Who was it? It might have been. It's an old psychiatrist, and but that was like his thing was, can you look that up? Just put an opium of the masses and we'll come up with the quote. But the idea that he was saying was like, this is just something that people believe because they're like afraid of death or like what's to come. And so they fall into this religious mindset because it comforts them. And truly, that was one of many wrong views that I've had in my life. And Did it say who it was from? Religion is opium people. Hold on 1 second. Marx, that's it. Karl Marx. Yeah.
Karl Marx.
So I was way off, but I think he was, yeah, he wrote the Communist Manifesto, yeah. Yeah, but that was his, so the Communist Manifesto guy, bro, that's lit, yeah, oh, man, bro, there was, never mind, yeah, no, we're not gonna talk, yeah, don't talk about Nazis now, but,
you can't say that, bro.
What the? Don't talk about Nazis. That's a good thing to say. There's nothing wrong with that. I didn't do it. I'm not the one who did it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, it happened, but where he is, the episode we get canceled on. Anyway, so what I was saying is, he basically says, right, like that's the opium of the masses, right? And it was the idea that I had was like, there's no way that this, right? Why would God ever die for me, right? Because I look at like all of the stuff I've done in my life, and the stuff that I continue to do wrong today. And it does, it comes down to that point of like, I'm just not worthy of that. It sounds like somebody's trying to sell you something because it's too good to be true, right? And that was the exact thing that I felt whenever I heard this dude, right? Whenever he was sharing that, it was like, I could feel it, right? That it's like, instantly he's like, you know, I'm not worthy of even a better life, right? Like, I'm not worthy to have some type of spiritual connection, right? And thank God that he was like, he says he believes in Jesus Christ, right? So it's like, there's hope, right? But it's not like, I don't know, dude, it's like I got example after example after example of that whole mindset of just like, because it, I mean, that's the whole point, really. It doesn't make sense, right? Like, that makes no sense. Why would God why would God ever do that? That makes no sense at all, right? All right, and it's like, I can't even, it's because he's right, right? It's because he's good and he's nothing like humans. I think that's the real issue, is that trying to compare God to a human being. And he's so far above that, right? Like, he is good. He's got grace and he's got mercy, you know? But it's one of the most beautiful things, is one of the verses I relate to the most, is basically it's the story of the guy who's a horrible sinner, and he's just disgusting, basically. And he's sitting in the synagogue, and he's beating his chest. And he's saying, God, have mercy on me, have mercy on me. And then there's the Pharisee right next to him. The Pharisee's saying, God, thank you so much that I'm not like him, right? And, God, you know, the story is that, you know, God's going to bless the one who's begging for mercy, right? That it's not about the righteous, you know, conceited person, right? It is the person who really knows their true sin, right? I've said it before that, like, right, like, if you're down bad because you feel like the world cheated you in some way or something like that, right, that's one thing. But, like, I don't know, I think it's, in my experience, in my journey, right, like, my walk, it's been a lot more of, like, I'm so evil, because I'm, like, a very evil person. Like, I know it, like, to my core, like, everything about me is just, I am selfish, right, like, I do want personal gain. Naturally, right, I do not care for other people, but, you know, plant God or Jesus, like, into my body, like, into this flesh, and for some reason now, it's like, I really do care for other people, and slowly, right, like, sin becomes disgusting, right, and I want to run away from it, and, you know, I don't know, it's just, like, that's, like, the main issue I've always had, is why I'm not worthy, is because of all of my sin. I've never thought, like, I'm not worthy because, you know, my childhood was rough, or because of something that other people have done, right? Like, I never thought that at all. I always thought, I'm not worthy because I'm disgusting, right? And it's like, kind of Wally's whole point, right, that he kind of brought up, was like, I'm not, like, I'm really not worthy. And it doesn't make sense because I'm not God, right? Something that Francis Chan teaches that's really good is, like, my thoughts are not God's thoughts. And so many times, like, I want to think that God thinks as I do, or acts or behaves as I do, and he doesn't, like, at all. And thank God that he doesn't, right? Because if he did, this would be a mess, right? But he's set apart, he's holy, holy means he's set apart, and he is set apart. He's different from the rest of us, and that's why he would do something like send his son. Because, you know, when I'm like, you know, struggling with drug addiction or addicted to pornography or running my car into somebody's I didn't hit his house, but I ran my car through his mailbox and then left my car in his front lawn one time. There's a lot, like, I got a whole bunch, right, of different terrible things that I've done, and God doesn't, right, God forgave me for it, right, just because of what Jesus did, what God in the flesh did, you know. And so, I mean, yeah, like, I definitely understand not feeling worthy, but I can tell you, right, that if you accept Jesus into your life, that's all it takes to become worthy.
Yeah. No, I like that, how you said, we're talking about caring about people, you know, because that just shows, like, how you've been transformed, you know, like, we've truly been transformed, because before it was just all about me, 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 and then the minute you accept Christ, you know, you want to go out and you want to help others, you want others to know this love and this light, you know. And bro, I was the same way. I still am, you know. A lot of days my flesh just wants what's best for me, you know. Like, the darkness inside of me wants to take over and it wants to run the show, but it's an everyday battle where I gotta, you know, deny myself and pick up that cross. That's my job every single day as a follower of Christ, you know. And it's no coincidence that right now, as we're doing this podcast, a kid from the church is texting me like, hey, I'm sorry for the late text, but I'm being tempted right now. And, you know, back in the day, I would be like, I don't care, why are you texting, you know, I don't want to hear that. But today, like, I felt it when he said that, you know. It was like, it hit my heart a little bit different. I'm like, dang, bro, I'm like, it's literally what you were talking about, that weeping when we're weeping, you know. Like, I feel bad, I feel sad, because I don't want him to be, you know, facing these battles. I don't want him to feel alone or scared, you know what I mean? Because I see the potential in him, and I know that God has great plans for him, you know. And just a little example was, like, last Wednesday night, I get the privilege of, you know, going and helping out with the kids. I got a little group of eighth grade boys that I do a little Bible study with and stuff. And it's so fire, because, like, I don't want to do it. I never want to do it, you know. Like, if you were to really ask me, and I'm being honest, like, every Wednesday before I go, like, do I want to? I'm like, nah, not at all. But then I remember this is not about me, you know. I'm called to serve, and I'm called to be a leader, right? And especially to this younger generation. So last Wednesday, I pulled up, and I was just in a bad mood. I was angry. I don't want to be there. It was all some nonsense, bro. It was literally just because, like, it rained. I didn't get to play basketball that day. So I was, like, a little angry, which is so stupid, bro, you know. I have the opportunity to pour into the youth, and instead I'm focused on why my day sucked. And sure enough, God just punched me in the gut, because this kid, he gets to go up there on stage and gets to share his testimony, you know. And the way he walked up on that stage, it was with confidence, it was with power, you know. And the way he spoke, it wasn't on his own strength, but it was through the power of the Holy Spirit. And literally, when he spoke those words of his testimony, like, I literally almost started, like, tearing up, you know. Like, I did tear up a little bit, because it was like, bro, this kid, he comes up to me every Sunday and asks for me to pray with him, you know. And even one Sunday, he asked if he could pray for me, you know what I mean? Because he didn't need no prayer. His cup was so full by the power of Jesus, you know. He wanted to pray over me. And so we sat there and we prayed together, you know. And anytime he's going through it, I try my best to be there for him. And in that one moment, you know, I told him, I was like, bro, I hope you know that, like, you literally, I don't care who else you touched here. I'm sure it was all the other people that heard your message. But, like, bro, you literally made my day, and I'm so proud of you. And he was like, why? What? Like, he could tell something was up. And I was like, oh, man, just bad day, bro. You know what I mean? Just one of those days I'm kind of being a little, rhymes with snow, you know what I mean? And he was like, oh, bro, you want to pray? And I'm like, oh, no, dog, it's straight, you know, which was so fire, bro. But, yeah, it's just cool, you know, the journey that God takes you on, to where now I'm able to learn from these kids, you know, even from Chris. Chris is like 4 years younger than me. And I still be looking up to him like he's 57, you know what I mean?
That's crazy.
But it's just cool stuff, bro, just stuff you pick up on the journey, you know, when you're not so focused on you and your struggle And even sometimes, like, in that moment when I was so focused on me and the nonsense that I had to be feeling some type of way about, it's like God, boom, struck me with just his mercy right there. He was like, look, right now in this moment, you don't deserve this, but I'm going to touch your heart in a special way because that's how much I love you. And then sure enough, you know, going into the night, you know, we kind of sit down and we're talking. And one of the boys, I was just asking him, like, have you ever just felt, like, so close to God? Like, what's the most close you ever felt to God? And they're kind of going around, they're telling their stories, and it's super uplifting. And then one kid, he said he did an experiment to see, like, if God was really, you know, working, if he was really moving. And I was like, what do you even mean, bro? Like, how you do that? And so he said that one day he got super into scripture and he was just prayed up all day. He was doing his best to move in the fruits of the spirit. And sure enough, bro, it was like, it was a rough day, but he had never felt more peace. He never felt so covered and comforted and protected. And he just felt a different type of joy, even though the day wasn't the best. You know, if like an outsider saw his day, he'd probably be like, that's just a trash day. But because of the Holy Spirit that was in him and moving through him, it was a beautiful day. And he got to experience the fullness of God because he was seeking with a full heart. And that's what a lot of us are missing. We're not seeking with a full heart. You know, we're kind of stop and go. We're kind of running in real quick, grab something, and then get out of there, you know. But then he said, just to, you know, check himself the next day, he didn't read no scripture. He was in like a negative mindset. You know, he was like, you know, just doing what kids do, listening to bad music, probably watching some bad stuff, a little Ice Spice video or something, I don't know. But and sure enough, it was a good day. Like, it was actually like a really good day, but he felt horrible, you know, because he wasn't seeking the source. The outside world was fine, but internally he felt broken. He felt empty. He felt like a piece was missing. And I thought that was so cool to hear an eighth grader even be thinking in that way. And that just showed me, like, you know, God is moving through every single person in this world. And especially at that age, it was just really cool to see, you know, that he cared that much. And yeah, you know, sometimes you're going to question your faith, and sometimes you're going to have those moments where you're like doubting yourself, you know, and that's the thing. Like, we could doubt ourselves all day because we're nothing, but God is forever. He's almighty. He is the definition of power. So, you know, it's like in those moments when we do get down on ourselves, we got to check ourselves or have a brother next to us who's going to check us for us, you know. We got to have someone holding us accountable, you know, because it's like a lot of days I get excited when I read something in the Bible and I'll send it to Chris. And who knows, maybe he's not having a great day spiritually, but then he might read that or hear what I had said and he's like, oh, that's fire. Because I know for sure that happens to me anytime Chris send me something or my boy Nick or even my dog Vic, you know. That they just it uplifts me because I know that God is moving in them, so I'm like, there's no reason he shouldn't move in me. You know, I've accepted him. I'm trying my best to make myself available to be a vessel. You know, so it's like whenever those doubts come in, you know, a lot of times it's just we gotta check our heart and see where our heart at. Cause at the end of the day, bro, like, God just loves us so much. And he just wants to be with us. Like, he truly delights in us. You know, like, whenever he hears from us, when he hears our voice reaching out to him, I'm sure he's up there just like, my son, my daughter, you know, my friend, my masterpiece. You know, he made us. And sure, we're a little rough around the edges, but, like, God doesn't see, I feel like he doesn't see all that. Like, he sees it, obviously, but, like, when he looks at us, he sees our heart. And when our heart is with him and for him, we're connected, you know, we're one. But when our heart is kind of, you know, maybe you want a little something else, maybe you want something that this world's trying to tell you you need, and God might be trying to pump the brakes and keep you from that, but when you keep going and going and going for it, it's like, yeah, he might let you, you know, grab onto a little bit just to teach you a little lesson, you know. And we all been there, we all done that. And I can just tell you from personal experience that it's like, everything the world has to offer is temporary, and the satisfaction is very little, you know, compared to the fullness you receive from God. You know, I just keep in my head, you know, like, kind of like discounting, you know, taking a little $5 off what God's trying to give me, when in reality he wants me to receive the fullness that he's trying to give me. And it's like, it's so cool now to look back, you know, on those days when I thought I was on top of the mountain, bro. Like pre-Jesus, like my idea on top of the mountain was like a fresh bottle of Remy Martin, a smooth little, you know, little pack of pressure, and at the club. But in reality, like that was just the flesh on fire, missing the biggest piece of the puzzle, you know what I mean? And that's the reason I felt so broken. I felt so empty, and I felt so like never satisfied. I always wanted more and more and more. I was stuck in the rat race, you know. But it's like today, it's like I don't gotta have nothing, bro. You know, I feel the best, the closest to God on those days when it's like I'm in a fast, you know, when I haven't ate nothing, when I haven't drank nothing, when I'm just literally sitting here and I'm seeking God as the living water, as the bread and the water that he is, you know, like he truly is the source of life. And when I acknowledge that, I know that, you know, everything's okay. But when I'm turning a blind eye to God, you know, I'm kind of trying to duck and dodge him a little bit. That's when things get a little tricky.
So that was fire. I got a lot of Romans I'm about to read, and so I'm gonna read it piece by piece and then I'll go through and break it down. So first thing, before I go into reading it, it's gonna talk about the love of God, our future glory, and being heirs with Christ. This is Romans 8, a lot of Romans 8. You were quoting Romans 8, right? Yeah, it's fire. Always, dude. Romans, probably like one of the best books in the Bible. Can you? That's not blasphemy, is it? To say one's better than the rest. Yes, yeah, we'll charge the game. Not that there's anything wrong with the other ones. This is just a really good one. It's all God's word, though, so I guess, you know, it's the same author. Yeah, they're all the best. But I could definitely say that, like, one of the things that I've had before is, you know, Francis Chan will talk about, it's really easy for me to say that, not easy, right, but, you know, I could say I love God and believe that, right, and I do say that, and I do believe that I do love God, not, you know, that I'm perfect anyway, and show that very well, right, like, not the way that God shows me that he loves me, but I have struggled before with that of, like, does God truly love me is like something I've thought about. And I think a root issue for the reason that someone could be in such an extraordinary amount of pain, especially the way that I've seen it in today's world, is because even like I was talking about this earlier tonight with some other believers about athletes who got all of this money and all this fame and all this glory on earth and are just not happy people, right, and are doing super sinful things and have hate in their heart and have evil in their heart, right? And we were talking about like Aaron Hernandez, right, is somebody who literally, like, as far as what the world has to offer, had it all, and ends up, right, you know, we know the story of Aaron Hernandez, but yeah, he ends up killing himself. He becomes such a miserable person, right? And a lot of other things, too, that happened, right? But it was all of his evil and all of his sin and all of the things of the world that ended up taking him down. And that's the reason that I have any type of serious, unrelenting pain today, is because I'm not leaning into Christ and I'm leaning into the world. And I'm seeking things that the world has to give, you know. And it comes from a heart of unbelief, because I think that, you know, I put my belief in basically, there's this preacher and he says, if you don't serve God, then you serve the devil. There's no middle ground in that. And that's in scripture, right? Like, if you're not serving God, then you're serving the devil. There's no options. There's no one foot on one side, one foot on the other, right? It's, you're all in one direction, all in the other. And, so like, with that being said though, it's like, you know, these people never got to know God and God never knew them, and their lives were miserable, and they were in, what's it at, 10%? Close that out. That's it. 12. That's so weird that it has a notification for 12%. That's crazy. Yeah. Right, so here's what I'm going to read, and it's just... And this also, too, this whole episode is not to take away from any of the person's struggles who might be listening. We can definitely sympathize with different pains. And there are pains of the world, like death of family members. And, you know, I know people who have had horribly traumatic childhoods that are just very painful and something that sticks with them and it scars them deeply. And it's something that should never happen to a child, an innocent child who's done nothing right to anybody. And, you know, and those things can kind of stick with you, and you can, you know, it has long-lasting effects that are just super painful. And what other bad things happen in life? There's death, right? There's breakups, right? You get a relationship. That's a, if you're going through a breakup, that's, you're about with 90% of other Christians. So congratulations. Yeah, that's, yeah, that's what they need actually is a freaking church group for people who just broke up. Right, but there's just so much, there is a lot of pain that we feel in the world, and that's, this is, so this is what I'm going to go into about that. What I'm going to start with is, for I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longing for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from its bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in the pains of childbirth until now. Not only the creation, but we ourselves, who have the first fruits of the Spirit, groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons. And so right there, right, it talks about the person even who has the Spirit groans inwardly as we wait for adoption as sons, eagerly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies, for in this hope we were saved. So right there, right, Paul is telling us that there is suffering in this world, right? And he says, but if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience, right? And so just to go off of that really quick, if you're in a lot of pain and suffering, right, there's the idea that is constantly pulled out, and it's to stare at the cross, right? And I love that people use the word stare rather than look, right? You got to gaze at the cross and stare at your salvation and know that you're saved, right? It says that the sufferings won't even compare to the glory that we'll receive when we get to heaven, right? That these are not one and the same at all, that the pain that we feel here is temporary, right? But the glory that we'll have is eternal, that's in heaven, and that's because of Jesus, right? And so the next thing he goes into, God's everlasting love. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? Question mark. I didn't read that correctly. If God is for us, who can be against us? Question mark. He did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all. How will he not also with him graciously give us all things? And he goes in, right, goes way deep into the everlasting love of God. But really, that's what I wanted to talk about. Right, God doesn't spare his own son, right? And so here's really what I'll get into is that God is a just God, right? So when you read Old Testament, you're reading a just God, right? And God, if God is just and he really does love you, right, he doesn't want you to have sin. He's got to take away sin because, you know, sin is what's causing all of this suffering. So and when you read Old Testament, you could say, wow, God was so hateful, right? And I've even heard someone say that God's wrath was cynical, but it wasn't cynical at all. God's wrath was loving, right? He was trying to get rid of the evil that was in the world, right? So when he takes out Sodom and Gomorrah, that's not a sign of God being evil. That's a sign of God trying to get rid of sin, right? These people are already, like, they've already devoted themselves to the devil, right? Like, they've committed to that life. And who knows, right? I don't know God's thinking, and I wouldn't even try to, like, explain for God, but I know God well enough to know that he would only do that if he was trying to get rid of that sin, right? So with that being said, God's just. He can't have sin. He's got to figure out a way. He loves us so much that he thoroughly figured out a way to save us, right? And this is from the beginning, right? This is completely off topic, but it just came to me. and I'll give the mic back to Wally after this. This is something that's so fire, and God revealed it to me, like, this past week, and it's, like, the coolest thing ever. And there's this guy, and he talks about the Bible, right? And he says that the Bible is cross-referenced 67,000 times. And so that means that if you go to the front, you can find out things from the back, and then from the back, you can find out things that are in the front of the Bible, right? This is truly insane, right? Because it's written by 33 different people, and it's consisting of 66 different books, right? And so what that means is that this book wasn't written by those 33 people, that it was truly God who wrote the book, right? And the reason you know that is because there's actual evidence of these prophecies and of these people and of all of the writings, right? There is the argument that atheists make about, well, we were constantly adjusting it. But even in human power, you cannot adjust it enough for it to come out the way that it did. You would find a mistake. People always make a mistake. You can't write this many words in a book and not make a mistake that somebody would have found. But there's no one who's actually read this Bible and been able to point at something and go back to a different spot and say, see, these things don't add up. That's a fact that no one's been able to do that. So then you got to ask yourself then, right, from the beginning to the end, how could the whole thing come together like that, especially when it's written throughout 12,000 years, right? And the only answer is that it's because, right, there was one author and he knew the whole story. He knew how it was going to start and he knew how it was going to finish, right? And so God loved you, and so, you know, he saved all the people who were from before, and he saves all the people who come after Jesus, that when he sent his son, right, that date and time isn't just the only date and time when people could be saved, but that he can save all of these people that he loves dearly, right? And so he knew, right, that we were going to be sinners and that we couldn't be saved without him, but he loved us so much that, you know, he could have just wiped us all out, right? Like Noah's Ark, he could have just said, not told Noah anything and just wiped out the population, been like, this was a failed experiment. But God actually loved us so much that from the very beginning of time when he created man, he had a plan and a way for us out to get a way out, right? And he did, right? And I love how it's worded in there. It says, exactly, right? Like, he didn't spare his own son. So he sent his son in the form of man and did not spare him. I always wonder, too, like, if Jesus is up in heaven and God the Father is just like, yo, dog, we got a, you know what I mean? Like, we got a mission, dude, and sends him to earth to get crucified, right? Which, and then how dope is that, that Jesus, our God as well, right? Like, one God, right, is so willing, right? He willingly got up on that cross, right? And at any time, he could have called out an army of angels and wiped out the whole population, but he was disciplined, and he was faithful, and he was, what's the word I'm looking for? Obedient. You know, Jesus was obedient on that cross, and he sat there and went through all that stuff because he knew, right, like, because God knows this is the only way that I'm going to be able to get these people into heaven, and the road will be narrow, and it won't be many of them, but that, you know, my chosen people is what he calls us, right? And so then people who feel like, oh, I'm not worthy, it's like, maybe you're not worthy with your family, maybe you're not worthy with your friends, right? But from the beginning of time, before you were ever born, God knew you, and he had a plan for you. How crazy is that? That the God of the universe, the creator of everything, knew exactly who you were, and he said, I'm gonna save him, right? Like, I'm gonna save her, right? I love them so dearly that I'm manifesting a plan, I'm putting something together so that they can be saved. And so it's like, when I think of that, when I remember that, when I'm constantly reading scripture, and I'm constantly in this Bible, when I'm in my prayer, and I'm around the fellowships, and I'm you know, communing with like-minded Christians in the faith, and, you know, really caring for other people, it's like, literally to the extent that it's like, yeah, this person died, but glory to God, right? Like, yeah, this, right, I just broke up with this boy or girl, but glory to God, right? Like, you're just so infatuated with the fact that God loves you so much, and you're so, right, keeping your eyes focused on that reward, and keeping your eyes focused on that hope that he is there for you, and that he is waiting for you, and that, right, it's just a matter of time. And what's 60 years to eternity, dude? They don't even compare.
Before we started throw you off, that was tough last week.
Yeah. Nah, Chris just went off. So I'm just going to close out with a little scripture before we pray. And this is in Ephesians 2, and it's titled Made Alive in Christ. It says, "As for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and of the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us also lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our flesh and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature deserving of wrath. But because of his great love for us, God, who is rich in mercy, made us alive with Christ, even when we were dead in transgressions. It is by grace you have been saved, and God raised us up with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms in Christ Jesus, in order that in the coming ages he might show the incomparable riches of his grace, expressed in his kindness to us in Christ Jesus. For it is by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not from yourselves, it is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." Yeah, dog, so whenever, you know, next time I get the question, what's the point in God, is that right there, you know? We've all been broken, we've all been dead in our sins, you know, we've been stuck in the ways of this world, we've been trying to feed into this world, but God loved us so much, you know, he was so rich in mercy that he would save someone like me and Chris, you know, he would save someone like you, and he would completely wash away all the pain, all the darkness, all the sin, all the evil that is within us, and make us white as snow through the blood of his son Jesus. And that sounds way better to me than anything this world could offer, you know? So I just think from now on, we gotta remember, you know, that last part. And this is not from yourselves. It is the gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast. So it's not about what we do. It's about what he did. So just as you go on throughout your week or through your day or night, whenever you listen to this, just remember, it's not about what we do, it's about what he did. And the more and more you start to focus on that and meditate on that point, it's going to bring peace, because it takes a little pressure off you. You know, you start to realize that I can't let God down, because I'm never holding him up. He is power, he is glory, he is love and mercy. And all he wants from you is just to adopt you, you know, to bring you into his family, to show you a little bit of love. Chris wants me to read something real quick. It's from John 5:11-13. It says, "That you may know that you have eternal life." John's confidence is impressive. He wants us to know that we have eternal life. We can only know this if our salvation rests in Jesus and not in our own performance. If it depends on me, then on a good day, I'm saved, and on a bad day, I don't really know. But if it depends on what Jesus has done for me, then I can know. And it's hard. It's hard, bro. Yeah. That's all you need to know right there, you know? So wherever you find yourself, whether you've accepted Jesus or not, whether you're on the edge or you're all the way locked in, just constantly be staring at that cross. Be locked in on that cross. And all the worries that the world tries to throw at you will become smaller and smaller. And all you're going to seek is just that glory that God wants to give you. So let's go ahead and pray out. You run it, you want me to run it? All right, yeah. Chris's voice is tired, so I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. And he also told me, you know, if you're complaining, you're No, all right, I'm gonna go ahead and pray. So y'all just go ahead, close your eyes, bow your head, and let that Holy Spirit move. Dear Lord Jesus, God, Lord, we thank you so much, Lord, for this opportunity to speak on the love you have so freely given us, God. Lord, I pray that whoever is listening, Lord, would begin to feel that love. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that they would seek you in all things, Lord. Lord, that they would recognize that you are the source of life, Lord. You are the source of love, and you are the source of salvation, God. And Lord, that the pressure is not on them, but Lord, it is on you. And you are strength, Lord. You are power, and you are glory, God. And no amount of pressure can break you, God. So Lord Jesus, Lord, I just pray that wherever the listeners are right now in this moment, Lord, wherever they are in their journey, wherever they are in their walk of faith, God. Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would step in at this moment, Lord. And Lord, that you would mount them up on wings like an eagle. And you would carry them. Lord, you would lead them to the road, Lord. The road of glory, Lord Jesus, Lord. That narrow path, God, that you've called us to walk on, Lord. But that narrow path that leads straight to your kingdom, God. Lord, just bless and protect the hearts of the listeners, God. Lord, uplift their spirits, Lord. And Lord, I pray that you would continue to knock at the door of those who are unsure of their faith or of their salvation, God. And Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would remember, Lord, you are always faithful, God. Even when we are lacking in faith, God, you never are. Lord, we love you, Jesus. We praise you, and we thank you. In all my name we pray. Amen. And that's a wrap.